the horizon, and his lips slide into a smile. The first time I ever laid eyes on your mom, she was singing in a rodeo at Cap Rock Arena. That tiny little thing was filled with so much life. He keeps looking at the horizon, and it's as if he's not talking to me, but to himself. Passionate about her dreams even back then. I guess I thought, like me, her dreams belonged to her youth and that she'd be happy with the simple life. But that was my dream. It wasn't right for me to expect her to change. He turns his head toward me. So if there is any blaming to do, aim it my way. When he says that, I realize that's exactly what I've wanted to do. But now I feel numb and I don't know who to blame. So after a long moment, I say, I don't blame you, Dad. Then don't blame her either. She loves you, Toby. You need to let her love you. A lump gathers in my throat. Do you think you'll get back together? I can't answer that. His temples pulse, and he looks out onto the water where the sun glistens. I can tell you this, though. You're a lucky person if you go through life and have one person need you. And you've got more than a couple that do.
This conversation between Toby and his dad helps clear up some things. It explains why his dad moved from Dallas to Antler. He wanted a quieter life and more time with his family. It also gets at the big difference between his mom and dad. His mother wants more excitement and freedom to pursue her dreams. For the first time, I think Toby understands what's really going on with his parents, and he knows that they obviously really care about him. For a while now, Toby has seemed sort of stuck and unhappy that things aren't the way he wants them. Maybe now he can move on and deal with the way things are. Let's keep reading where we left off. We're on the last line of page 195, which reads, I wonder if he's talking about Cal.
I wonder if he's talking about Cal.